Welcome to Are You Real, episode 69.
Welcome to Are You Real, Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now, get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Roar Nation, do I have an awesome episode for you this week. We're going to be talking about overcoming anxiety, fear, how my friend did it. We're also going to be diving into making a transition once you have found purpose in your life, how to make that into reality, basically how to manage your side hustle and what you're doing. So I'm really excited for this week's episode with my friend. And also on top of that, do not forget to dive into DIY Remodel Your Life. I don't care if you have found your purpose yet or you haven't. I promise you need my book because the first chapter is going to help you find purpose and the rest of it's going to help you walk into it. And the last chapter is even I have to read it sometimes too, is once you found purpose, you're doing what you're called to do. Sometimes you need warranty work. And what warranty work is going back and fixing this stuff that is broken, like mostly our thoughts. So anyways, man, I hope you enjoy this week's episode. It's really good with my friend. Be blessed. Hey, Roar Nation, your guest, John Fuller here, and I'm excited, pumped up, very enthusiastic. I can't even think of any words. I got to come up with some more. But anyways, that being said, I am really excited to introduce today's special guest, Michael McGreevy. Michael, brother, you fired up and ready to go, my friend.
Oh, am I ever. Now, I got to do this because I know what you do on other episodes when you talk about the lion roaring. Are you ready to roar? I have a 2-year-old son who loves it when I make a lion noise.
Okay.
So I have some practice here.
Dude, you're going to be the first guest. Let's hear it.
All right. Here we go. There it is.
Dude, I love it, man. I will never forget that, and either will our audience, because you were going to be the first and possibly the last.
Possibly.
That was epic, dude. So, Roar Nation, I don't even know how I got connected with you, Michael. I know it's been through Facebook. I'm in so many different groups. I meet so many different people. That being said, I have no idea how we met, but I know we've connected. We've talked quite a bit. And you do a lot of stuff with coaching, helping people find identity. I don't want to steal your thunder. So that being said, Michael, tell me more about like who you are, what you do, so our audience can relate.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny, John. I don't remember how we met either, but I am just glad that we have. So we've had some awesome conversations. But I'm a father of 2 kids, a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old. I have a lovely wife named Lydia, and I'm a transformational coach. So I don't necessarily put myself out there as that person because I like to work with high-level folks who are going after success. And what I've found is that what they're looking for is a deep understanding of who they are. And so we start with the whole success thing, but we always end up at deep transformation.
I love it, dude. You are, man, we're speaking my wheelhouse, my friend.
All right.
Come on. Okay. So what has been part of your journey? Well, let me ask you this. What has been a scriptural or success quote that kind of led you down this journey? And then I want to dive into your journey because I know that's the whole reason you started doing what you're doing.
Absolutely. There was a time in my life when I was overcome with fear and anxiety. And I used to go back to this scripture over and over again because it gave me such hope when I really had none on my own. And that's Isaiah 40. It's kind of long. It goes from 27 all the way through 31, but I'll just read this. You'll recognize it as you hear it. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That has been my go-to and has brought me through so many times where I felt so lost.
Man, that's powerful. Oh, that's good because I'm just sitting there thinking about, even that scripture, because there's times in our lives, we were just talking about that, where you kind of feel down. But I really believe when we find identity and purpose in the DNA and the way God made us, whatever we're called to, we're all different. You really do feel like you're kind of soaring, like doing what you're called to do. And it just becomes easy, I think.
Amen to that. When you know who you are, when you have fully embraced and found that God-given identity that you have, that's when you're really thriving.
It really does. I want to say this real quick. I was to bring it back to like what we're called to do. Last night, I went for a walk with my 16-year-old daughter. And we were walking and we were talking about she's extremely gifted at writing. She's just a phenomenal writer. And gotten her some side jobs writing for podcasts and doing different stuff. And she made this comment and it was so funny. She said, "I feel guilty for charging people to write because it's so easy."
Whoa.
And I thought, wow. And we had a great conversation about that, just about it opened doors about entrepreneurship and just created what, you know, she's in her gift, dude. She's in her wheelhouse. And how many times have you heard people say, there's $2 million questions. Somebody, if you got $1 million a year, money wasn't an issue, what would you do? Is always the first one. And then the second one is, and I just completely drew a blank, is if you could just do whatever you want and not charge people, what would you do? And,
wow.
And kind of go side and side. And it was funny. She was just like, it's so easy. But she goes, I feel guilty for it. And I'm like, wow, dude, how many people need to hear that? It's not supposed to, what we're called to do should not feel like work. We just naturally do it. So anyways, side note for our listeners and for how awesome you are.
But John, you just breezed by something there that I think is so important and that every guy with a daughter should hang on to. You were taking a walk with your daughter and talking about her gifts, talking about her life, drawing that out of there. That's where it's at, fathers. You need to be doing that if you're not doing that right now.
Amen to that, dude. So, okay. Well, that being said, take me down your transformational journey of just you and coming into what you're doing. Because I know, and I'm going to ruin it just a little bit for our audience, but you and I both have construction background. You used to do construction.
Mm-hmm.
So we nailed it there. So let's go into like why you got into what you're doing now.
All right, I'm going to try to keep this quick because it started to happen early by my life falling apart. So let me start from
the bottom.
Absolutely. So I mentioned briefly before that anxiety and fear was just such a huge issue for me. Let me just give you an example of what my life looked like in high school. So that just to avoid being called on by a teacher, I used to pretend that I had to use the restroom so I could leave the classroom and hide out in the restroom so I'd avoid having to speak out loud, because I was so insecure, so afraid, so anxious that there were several times, even up through college, where I avoided having to speak just because I thought I was going to fall apart. And so that was kind of the headspace that I was in as I was a young man, just not any direction in my life, not really knowing what my purpose is, just kind of wandering through life without a direction or a true vision of where I was headed. And so somehow I graduated from college. I don't know. I mean, I would hide out and partying and the college life just to try to avoid that pain that I was carrying around. And there's so many ways to fill that gap, right? And we all do that in different ways. But by the time I was ready to graduate from college, I mean, I was living with my parents and they're like, dude, you need a job. You're not going to hang out here and freeload. So I got a job with a framing crew, and I didn't have any previous experience as a framer, but I jumped on that crew. And one day when I was working, a friend of mine I was working with, I was looking at him right in the eye and he stepped back and fell 2 stories. Down into the basement. And I looked down there and I knew that he was gone. But I still ran down there. This is in the midst of me being overcome with fear and anxiety. His tool belt had fallen. It was all over the place. And I ran down there and grabbed my boss's phone and called 911 and jumped down and tried to revive him. I gave him CPR. But it was clear to me that he was gone. He was, I think his neck was broken and he wasn't moving. He was unconscious. And I was just done. I mean, the trauma of the whole scene was just more than, I could handle. And that night, I had to go over to the hospital with my boss and tell his parents what had happened to him. And this is a young, bright kid. He was applying to be in the Secret Service. He had a lot of potential in his life, just a great guy to be around. And, just like that, it was all gone. And in the hospital, you can imagine what his parent, the condition his parents were in, just a complete disaster. And they looked at me and they just said, "What happened to my son? What happened to my son?" That image just burned in my mind forever. It was, I think to this day, probably the worst day of my life. And so a few months later, I headed back to try to get back to life, and things were just a mess for me. But I had the fortune of going on a family vacation to get away from it all for a while. And one day we were swimming on in the ocean. The waves were getting bigger and bigger. And I love boogie boarding. So I was out there with a boogie board, having a good time, just kind of forgetting about life, enjoying time in the ocean. And I noticed like it got really difficult to get back in. I was really struggling to get back in toward shore. The undertow is just ripping me out there. I fought and fought, and I was like, you know what? I got to get back. Like, I got to really get serious about this. This isn't just kind of a difficult thing now. It's really bad. And so I said, I'm getting in as soon as possible. So I got into the shore finally. But I looked back, and I saw two family friends. These were two teenage girls. One was in middle school. One was in high school. And they were way out in the ocean. And they're looking back toward me, asking for help. And the first thought that came to my mind as a fearful, insecure 20-something-year-old kid was, well, I better go find some help because there's nothing I can do about it. And this is when I feel God intersected my life. Right in that moment, he gave me a clear memory of that kid's mom in the hospital who was asking me, "What happened to my son? What happened to my son?" And it became very clear to me in that moment that if I didn't do something, then I was going to have that conversation again with these girls' parents who were longtime family friends. And frankly, I would have rather died than have to have that conversation again. And an ancillary benefit would be that, hey, I wouldn't have to deal with anxiety anymore either. So it started to sound like a pretty good option to drown in the ocean. And so I had a choice between really bad and bad, but less bad. And I chose less bad, and that was jumping in the ocean. And so when you kind of expect that you're going to die and not come through for these kids, what's the big deal if I keep swimming? Who cares if I just keep pushing forward? I mean, I'm going to die anyway, whatever. But the crazy thing is I got closer and closer to these girls, and I started to think that, wow, I might even reach them. I might even make it to them. And I did. And for some reason, something in me said, hey, we're going to make it. So I looked at them and I said, and they were crying, they were upset, they were scared, and the waves kept crushing us. And I said, hey, we are going to make it back. Hold on to my shoulders and don't let go and don't stop kicking until we make it into the shore. And so they grabbed onto my shoulders and all three of us swam and we fought and we got hit by the waves. And finally, we made it to the shore and literally collapsed on the sand in the shore. And the craziest thing about that whole experience is in that moment, for the first time in my life, I feel like God spoke to me pretty clearly and said, you have strength in you and you have something to offer. And I didn't know what that meant in that moment. I didn't know what to do with that feeling. I feel like it was the first time that a piece of my true identity was spoken into me by the Lord.
Wow. Dude, that's like something straight out of a movie. That's powerful, Michael. So I'm just trying to wrap my mind around all this. I guess so one of the worst days of your life, you were able to sit there and look at it as just really a turning point to do something powerful and allow the Lord to speak to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of stopped. That's an early part of the story, but you know, the next 10 years, is a whole nother story of wrestling with that idea and how I got to where I am today.
So, I want to jump into that because I love you said 10 years because you were over, I hear people say, they're like, hey, I've never even seen that person before. They're doing amazing things. And it's funny. It's, I heard a guy one time say he was in a 20-year overnight success. And dude, there's so much truth to that. I remember, you know, when I first got saved, my wife and I went through 10 years of just the hardest time in my life finding purpose and identity. And I want you to dive into that of part of your journey, because I think so many times people get discouraged and they think that they're supposed to find it, whatever it is, right away. But it's a process. Like I felt like the Israelites myself going through the wilderness for 10 years. And it's okay. Like, I want to tell people, like, that's okay. Because for a construction analogy, because that's what I do and you did, is, man, sometimes you just have to gut stuff and get it down to the bottom of the foundation and just allow God to start over, because we've just built so much crap in our lives.
Yes. Yeah, it is okay. And sometimes it does take years and years to walk through that stuff. But man, if I had the perspective that I have now, I think it would have taken a lot less time. The way that I approached it is I just said, all right, I'm going to go make something happen. I'm going to go do something. But what happened is I was spinning my wheels. It led me going in 10 different directions and sticking with jobs for short periods of time and then moving on to something else and moving on to something else. When the whole time, what I needed was healing. I needed healing for the things that were causing me fear and causing me to have a misunderstanding of who I was. And so if I were to tell you, if you're in this place of struggling, of you feel like you're working hard, but you're spinning your wheels, I would start there. What from my past or what have I gone through that has messed with my identity so much that I'm not even sure who I am right now? And that first step would be to find healing.
So I want to ask you, Michael, for our listeners, and that's powerful. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more on that. What was part of the process that you went through for healing and recognizing that? Because a lot of, I do get a lot of emails actually, if people say like, man, I'm just stuck in life or I'm depressed or just whatever. They need some, you know, they need a roadmap. I mean, what would you tell people or what do you tell people?
Yeah. This is a hard thing to hear, but you can't do it on your own. That's something that a lot of us want to do, especially as entrepreneurs. We want to get a blueprint, go off by ourselves, figure our stuff out, and then we'll present our nice little polished self to the world, right? But we can't walk through that process without someone else's help. And I am so fortunate to have a father who understood that, my earthly father. And he knew about what it meant to go back into your past and to walk through healing certain things. So I don't know that I had that awareness on my own, but you have to find a spiritual mentor, somebody who has knowledge about wounds of the past that can help walk you through that. The first thing, I think the first time I encountered that really is getting into John Eldridge's material. And we've talked about him before, right? Wild at Heart is one of the books that he wrote. But so much of his ministry is walking through those wounds that have convinced you that you're somebody that you're not. So I think if I were going to give somebody a first step, it would be to find somebody that can help walk you through some of the things that you've experienced in your life. Because so often we don't connect how we live and act and feel today with things that have happened to us a long time ago. But man, they are so connected. We have let ways of thinking and ways of believing in into our lives that have continued to affect the way we live now.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people don't realize that's the foundation actually of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a quick plug. It's just funny, but in my book, it made me think about this, but it's a blueprint. It's belief, thought, behavior, result.
Mm.
So if you go with the end, so let's say whatever result you're getting, like life's just sucks, right? It's crap.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you back it up one, well, it's because of my behavior.
Mm.
Back it up a little bit more. Well, my thoughts affect my behavior.
Yes.
And you go back to the very beginning, it's belief. What do I believe?
Mm.
And
yes.
And like what you're talking about is part of that is, you know, when things traumatic, I think a lot of people don't realize when traumatic events happen to us in life, they really shape that moment. Like, there's a person in my life that had a traumatic event or had several at a young age, I'd say somewhere between about 10 and 15.
Mm.
They've never grown past that. Like, I can tell when I deal with them or when I talk to them that, and they're much, much older than me now, but when I talk to them, I feel like I'm still dealing as if I'm having a conversation with one of my kids on a maturity level, like a depthness. But I know what happened to them as a kid, and I recognize like they've never gotten past those points. They've never matured past those events in their life.
Mm.
And people need to recognize that, because if life's not working out, you got to kind of be honest with yourself and you got to own your crap, man. And just say, this ain't working, dude. I got to fix it.
Yes. Yeah. I'll give you a quick example. So for me personally, I had an experience with a pastor, I think when I was maybe 7 or 8 years old, where I happened to be in his garage looking for some kind of sporting toy or whatever that his son had given me permission to go in there. And he was having a bad day or whatever. I don't hold this against him, but he came in and just ripped me a new one. And I'm a little kid in there. I had permission to be in there, but he just laid into me and made me feel like I was 1 inch tall. And, you know, in and of itself, it doesn't seem like that traumatic of an experience. But going back to that belief part that you just mentioned from your book, what I believed in that moment was, first of all, you can't trust authority. Second of all, you don't have the courage to stand up for yourself even when you're right. And that little thought, which was sprouted at that time, became a huge life controlling issue for me well into my college years of, you don't have the courage to stand up for yourself. Is it any wonder why I couldn't raise my hand even when I knew the answer and say confidently, this is what it is? No, because I believe that I was a coward. I believe I didn't have the strength to stand up for myself. Man, we all have stuff like that. And we have to go back and disagree with those things, remove them from our lives so we can move forward.
Dude, thank you for sharing that, man. That's crazy you said that, because that's not even a traumatic moment in somebody's life. Like, you need to hear that, because that's nothing compared to, obviously, your friend passing away.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk about a seed. I mean, that was foundational in your life as far as moving forward that you had to overcome. And I think a lot of people need to recognize, like, we all have those little moments where something was said that we've grasped onto and believed, even though it's a lie.
Yes. And sometimes you're right. We write it off because it doesn't seem that big of a deal. Or, oh, it's not as traumatic as what other people have to go through. Well, it's not about the level of trauma. It's about what you believed as a result of that.
Yes. Powerful. Okay, so let's jump into how you started getting into, you're going to have to kind of give us a 30,000 foot view of getting into what you're doing now. But
yeah,
when did you get that moment, like, where you got enough healing and you came into that place, you're like, man, this is what I need to be doing. Like, this is the me moment.
Hmm. Yeah, I wish I had a clear moment for you. But, you know, underneath it all, I always had this desire to work with people and to help lift them up and help them see their potential and move forward, because that was such an experience for me in my life. And so what that looked like early on is just me being passionate about the church, passionate about leading my own Bible study, about getting involved in church leadership and that sort of thing. And then what happened was I met a guy named Dan Miller via his podcast, 48 Days to the Work You Love. I loved his message. And he talked about making a living by offering what you have experienced in your life to help other people. And he had a coaching process for certification that you could go through that I heard about on his podcast. And I said, wait a minute, I could make a living and do this thing that I'm so passionate about at the same time. Where do I sign? And so that's when I said, hey, I got to go to this guy's conference. I got to check him out. And so I got certified as a coach through him, and I began coaching. I got my first client at the event And I think I charged him $40 for a coaching package.
Dude, sign me up, brother. You are.
Yeah.
Man, that ought to feed your kids for one snack.
Yeah, exactly. So that started my journey.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, it's so, I mean, I like what you said. You found what you knew inside. So you felt that drive. And then really you just stepped out and said, okay, I'm just going to do it.
But I needed to ask some more questions. I needed to do some more preparing. It was a fire ready aim type of situation.
Oh, brother, dude, you're speaking to the choir. I can't tell you how many times I've done that, dude. Like I've shot and then I'm like, maybe that was the wrong direction.
Yeah, man, the pains of learning. But I was running my own remodeling business at the time when I went out down to Dan's conference. And of course, my entrepreneurial heart said, this thing is going to take off and thrive. All I need to do is say I'm a coach and everyone's going to come flocking because my story is so powerful and I'm so awesome. And that did not happen at all.
I so want to go into this, dude. This is awesome. Okay. So, and I'll tell you why, because so many people, dude, I hear all the time. I just had this conversation with somebody the other day about jumping ship. And one guy he's like, man, sometimes you just got to burn the boats. And I'm like, okay, great. Yes. I get burn the boats and I'm totally about going all in. But when it's different when you're like in your late teens or early 20s, or you're not married yet, or your spouse has work and you guys can survive off of one income. But for most of us, you know, you can't burn the boats and jump ship because, well, you got an income to make, you got kids to support, you got all these responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. So what did you learn through that process and what would you tell people to do there? Because I think a lot of people need to hear that because they get excited like, man, I found my purpose. Well, great. But man, let's like row into this thing gently.
Yes. Well, let me first start by just acknowledging the difference in personalities that people have. So you actually, this burn the boats message might actually be what you need to hear if you are so risk averse and you're so fearful about how it can go wrong and you've been preparing for the last 5-10 years and you're ready to go. But so don't listen to this message and say, see, I was right. I need to plan more. That's one side of the personality. Then there's this other side that's ultra entrepreneur minded and they want to jump as soon as they have the thought. So I just want to lay that out there before we have this conversation, because you very well may need to burn the ships and jump if you have that risk averse personality. But for the rest of us who are ready to rock, ready to jump out the gates as soon as we feel passionate about an idea, put on the brakes. Sometimes going slower and doing more planning is what's going to help you thrive and grow and get to where you want to go quicker later on. I didn't get that message. I was out of the gates. I had a growing family. I was just married and I was ready to go all in with coaching. And I did. I said, you know, I'm going to put my tools down. I'm not going to do construction anymore. I started to tell people that I'm getting out of it. And then I'm going full time in coaching.
Did you have any clients at the time besides your $40 one? That's all I can think of is the $40 client, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah, I did have a couple clients, but I didn't have a long-term plan to maintain that. And so I did have a few, but the problem was when those coaching packages ended and new ones didn't come flooding in like I thought they would, I was in a real tough spot and I put my family at risk. I put my relationship with my wife under stress and I wasn't providing. And so I had to get back to work. I had to pick up my tool belt and hit the phones and dig up some more jobs so I could feed my family. And that was humiliating for me because I had so much confidence and hope that it was going to work. So take your time, plan. Start to gradually get into this game. You know, if you're doing a side hustle, spend some time in the evenings when you're not working, building up that side hustle, but be patient. Do the work that it takes to get to a somewhat solid place before you launch, and you'll be so much more successful long term.
Yes. So highly recommend that. I'm glad you shared that story. I've had a couple friends that have done that, and I've just seen it has not worked out for one of them, to be honest, because you need to have a plan. And like right now, part of my plan is like, I'm working on my mind. I haven't put it on paper yet, but I always start with my mind. Like I got a 3-year plan of slowly going into stuff because I don't want to burn the boats, but yet I want to make sure my family is comfortable with making that jump and still figuring out what I'm going to do with another business that I have while I'm transitioning into another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really wise. And you know, along the way, sometimes we forget about the here and now too. Like if your side hustle is cutting into taking walks with your daughter and talking about her life, you are moving way too fast. Those moments are fleeting, right? You're not going to have those opportunities. So before you grow your side hustle, make sure that you are investing in the most important relationships that you have. So when you do win in business down the road, that you have invested in those most important relationships and you can enjoy that success with them. But you rush too quickly and you're too heavy on the business side, on the front end, you're going to be with strangers, even if you are successful. So invest in those relationships. Don't let it cost what's most important.
I appreciate you sharing that. I need to hear that sometimes too. I think all of us does. We go in phases where we get so... especially as entrepreneurs, you can get so driven that you kind of turn around sometimes, you look back, you're like, oh, hey, where's everybody at?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So Michael, let's jump into, what do you feel like your biggest strength and gifting is in what you do?
Oh, I think it's cutting to the meat.
And yeah,
a lot of people don't like this about me, but I am not a fan of just having a surface conversation. If you want to talk, if you want to get into it, let's do it. But I have a sense of kind of what's going on underneath the surface, and I want to get to that, and I want to get to the root of things so I can help people move forward. So that's a skill, but it does annoy people.
I love it, dude. I think that's awesome. So you kind of answered that already, but what do you feel like your biggest weakness is, whether it's overextending your strength, or do you feel like you have another weakness that you have to be aware of?
Yeah, I think I have a weakness of not managing my thinking well enough. So I tend to be very positive and hopeful and excited about the future, but every once in a while, I'll see the bottom side of that as well, and I'll get into a rut of how I think and tend to get hopeless or feel like, oh, is it all worth it? And so I have kind of a big swing in my emotions. And I think that can be used to help understand other people, but that's something that I really struggle with from time to time.
Yeah, I appreciate you being real and raw on that one.
Mm-hmm.
What is the biggest thing right now that God is stirring inside of you that you're working on?
Ooh, so thank you for the opportunity to share this. I have worked with guys to help them uncover some of those wounds and things that are holding them back from their past and then helping them move forward. And I know there's a lot of folks out there that do not want to invest a couple $1,000s in a coaching package. So what I've done is taken all of that material from how I coach and I put it into an online course. And I feel like that's a way that I can serve a whole nother group of people, because it's my goal to transform the lives of 1 million men. And I think this will help give me some more leverage in that direction.
I love that you're sharing that. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to bring you on the show. Talk a little bit about it as far as just like the identity part or some highlights of it's kind of a plug for you. So I want our listeners to hear about, because I believe in what you're doing. I think what you're doing is life-changing for men. I do want to tell you this, Michael, before you jump into that, I was praying for you. And it's been a while since I've really even given a prophetic word or prayed over any of my guests. But for you, I was up in my living room. I was getting ready to walk downstairs. And I specifically heard the Lord say that I've gifted Michael to help young men come into who they are and what they were designed to be as men.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That is amazing. First of all, thank you for praying for me. And words like that are gold, and I'm going to hang on to them. Thank you.
Absolutely. So
That being said, tell us about that program, because I believe in what you're doing and I want our listeners to hear it.
Yeah, so it's really is. I've taken everything that I've learned in my coaching business and I've put it into this course. So all the exercises, it has, I think, 12 different videos and 16 different exercises to go through. But really what it's going to do is walk you through that process of taking a look back into your life and seeing what's holding you back, removing that from your life, and then helping you pull out the true identity that God has given you and to move forward with that boldly. And so it really does walk you through that process from A to B on how to do that. And for your listeners, John, I am so passionate about what you're doing, and the authenticity of your conversations is so inspiring. I want to offer your audience, anyone who does want to invest in this course, is also going to get a free one-on-one coaching session with me.
Wow, dude, that is awesome, Michael. Thank you, man.
My pleasure.
So, audience, I want you to know I believe in it so much, just so you know. I went to Michael's pre-launch and I paid full price. How much is it, Michael?
Well, it's in a pre-launch mode right now, which is $97.
Okay. So, just so you know, audience, Michael didn't give it to me. I actually volunteered. I went on there. I paid the $97. I started it just because I believe in what he's doing. I wanted to be able to promote it to our listeners because I believe in inner healing. I believe in identity. So, if you get a chance, we will have that link on areyoureal.org on our page to his stuff. But Michael, go ahead and tell us where to find it. I'll have the links on our page too if our listeners get on ours, but also where do we find it as well?
Yeah, thank you, John. It's at mcgreevyleadership.com and it's under the courses tab. There's only one course there. So that's McGreevy, McGreevy, leadership.com.
Come on, somebody. Okay, so for the sake of time, we're going to wrap it up a little bit. I do want to ask you this. Give me one resource or a book that you've recently read that you would recommend to our listeners.
Ooh, this one I love. I went through it with a small group of guys, and it's called The True Measure of a Man. And it asks the tough questions. It digs deep to the marrow of struggle that men face. And so I would highly recommend that book.
Awesome. I'm going to check it out. That's going to be good. You know what I need? I just realized I need to find a woman version of you to bring on the show to talk about women's stuff. So listeners, if you know of anybody who does ministry that's the woman version of McGreevy, send it to me or bring it on, because we need one of those too. Because you just coach men, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so we need a woman version. So I'm inviting you listeners to email me and send me somebody who you like. I'll check them out first, and if we think it's solid and legit, we're going to bring them on. So amen to that. Okay, Michael, big question. You ready, buddy?
Yes.
Okay, so you get to go back to the younger you, like Back to the Future, Marty McFly, okay? And yes, you're going to go back in the DeLorean and you get to give yourself advice. Now, nothing's going to change. You are still going to go through everything that you've gone through in life. But what are you going to tell yourself?
Oh, man. Oh, wow. There's so many different directions I can go with this. But I think...
And you got to pick an age.
Oh, I'm picking an age.
Yeah, sorry. I got to throw that in. So you're picking an age and what you're going to tell yourself.
Man, this is really cutting back to the absolute core of what I think every man needs to hear.
Okay.
And I am 7 years old after that experience that I had with the pastor. And I would tell myself this: God loves you exactly how you are.
That's it, huh?
That's it.
That's good. Because we need to hear that, man. God is madly in love with us and just wants to bring us into our true identity.
Mm-hmm.
Love it, brother.
Well, thanks, John. It's been awesome talking with you. I know we have more conversations to have.
Yes, sir. So, hey, as we take off, dude, again, real quick, what is just one piece of parting advice that you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, it's don't avoid the places that you despise about yourself. Those are the answers. You'll find the answer to moving forward in life by no longer avoiding the things that you are trying to avoid in your life, the pain, the things that you've gone through that have hurt you. Go toward those things That's the answer to moving forward.
Amen to that, man. You got to just own it and deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. All right, Michael, hold on a second. Roar Nation, thank you guys and gals for jumping into another awesome episode. I hope you grab onto Michael's stuff, grab my book. I'm just being honest with you. I have years and years of courses and content of coaching that I've done myself because it furthers you along the path of who you are. So dive into these things, build upon the foundation that God has for you, get healing, find purpose, and just go kick butt in the world, man, because God created you to do awesome things. So go to rureal.org, send me an email, check out our book. You got questions, you need help, contact me. That is what we're here for and the purpose of our podcast. So I love you, and remember, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to rureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.